Welcome to the fourth log. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 12th installment of Fourth Wall's Famous Verse. I'm Freddie.
And I'm Art.
And we are here today to talk about Garth Ennis' first book, Troubled Souls. And this is also his first collaboration with artist John McCree. He has gone on to do many things with, most recently, they collaborated on The Boys' Herogasm. So we're about to have a herogasm of our own, talking about this book. Maybe. I don't know. It's not really superheroes. It's more of a gritty political story, if you will, dealing with the Irish politics and the IRA and the Catholics and the Protestants and all that. And we're not going to try to give you a history lesson here. If you want to know that, go watch the History Channel. It would be a nice place to go.
For history lessons?
Yeah, because they could probably tell you a lot more detail than we could, or just pick up this book, because there's actually a few pages in it that, you know, go over the whole sordid history of the goings-on between the Protestants and the Catholics and the IRA and all that.
And the troubles and all that. So, yeah. So if you're too lazy to Wikipedia or anything, or search the History Channel.
Yeah. Great. There are some pages in this book that will inform you, and you will feel educated. But anyway, yeah, our website is breakthefourthwall.com if you want to hear more of these. I feel like there's probably something else I should be saying, but whatever. Let's just get into this book.
Exactly.
Garth Ennis's Troubled Souls. This has a very unique art style that like I've never seen before in a book. It changes like all throughout. Like a character will go from one scene to another, and the art style will look completely different. Color changes, pencil layout changes, really kind of experimental, especially for these John McCree's first work. And it's kind of the main character of this story is a guy named Tom Boyd. And, you know, he's just a normal guy. He's not political. Has no affiliations or anything, and he has a run-in in a bar with an IRA member who is trying to get rid of a weapon and ends up tossing it into Tom's lap because he doesn't know what else to do because he knows he's about to have a run-in with the cops, or as they like to call the cops in this book, they call them Art.
Potters? Or Petters?
The Peelers.
Peelers. Eh.
Nice try. Third try.
Third time.
Sure. The Peelers, yes.
Thank you.
And ends up kind of blackmailing Tom into helping him plant a bomb that will kill members of the army that are the Protestants, that are part of the British rule in Ireland. So Tom ends up doing this because he does it because the guy threatens to kill his family. And you really feel in the beginning of this book a strong hatred toward this guy who's doing the blackmailing. And he looks kind of real skeezy, kind of Ron Jeremy looking guy. So that helps with your hatred of him. And then this ends up happening, and spoiler alert, how many people ends up dying in this explosion? Like 5 or 6 people, right?
6.
And Tom is just overcome with grief and regret about everything that's happening. Yeah. All the while, he's trying to hook up with this girl that he has the hots for. And while it sounds kind of cheesy that there's this really heavy political thing going on while he's trying to get a girlfriend, it actually works pretty well,
yeah.
Especially for Garth Ennis' first writing gig. I mean, he doesn't ham it up too much with the romance. It seems quite natural, the progression of it.
Yeah. The expressions, I think, are really good for this Conan O'Brien-looking character.
Yeah, I think we mentioned in our previous pod, the previous famous first, how this character has an uncanny resemblance in certain panels to Conan O'Brien. So if you're missing your Conan O'Brien fix, this would be a good book to pick up.
You could read this along with his Twitter post.
Yeah, there you go. And then, but the thing that really made this book stand out to me was after all this aftermath of the bombings and the regret and everything that Tom goes through, we get to see the other character, the Ron Jeremy, the IRA member. I wish I remembered his name right now. Damian
McWilliams, that's his name.
You get to see his side of the story, and not everything is black and white, and there's a reason why he was kind of forced into blackmailing Tom the way he did in the beginning of the story. And you know, it's really cool to see things from both sides, and I think that's really what sets us apart and kind of made people take notice when this book first came out, that, you know, he could be someone who could, you know, work for even bigger publishers and stuff like that. So that was what I thought of the book when I first read it. What did you think, Art?
I was a little bit on the fence about this book when I first saw it. I was reading it sight unseen because it was just Garth Ennis. It's his first book, and I didn't really want to read anything, any solicitations or anything. Just wanted to check this out. The art style was really not – I wasn't not I don't know. It seemed jarring to me.
Yeah, it's very – it's not like anything you really see nowadays. Yeah. This came out in 89, by the way.
By the British political anthology Crisis, and it was collected a year later. But it was something that I wasn't really familiar with, so, like, because I'm used to him working with, like, Steve Dillon or other people's names I can't remember. So when I saw him do this, it was just kind of like, okay. But, like, the thing that I really warmed up to mainly, because I'm still still not a big fan of the art style, but what I really warmed up to was the story. Because this is not a story that's really told that often. And, you know, like the young kid doing something bad for all the wrong reasons. It's like, well, I guess it's been told before, you know, like in certain gang movies and so on and so forth. But there's a certain level of enticement, you know, like there's an allure. The kid's friends are gang members, and now he's become a gang because of basic violence or revenge or something like that. But this is just sort of, through a series of unfortunate events, he gets thrown into this sort of complicated situation, then becomes sort of like a terrorist, and sort of the turmoil and the moral implications of doing all this stuff while trying to maintain his, like, normal lifestyle. You know, he's trying to date Liz, he's trying to hang out with his friends, and his friends are probably, like, you know, like Jay and Silent Bob-esque. You know, they're just kind of douchebags who just have fun and stuff. And he's trying to do that while going on with these implications of, do I set the bomb? Should I do this? Are my parents going to die? And this guy, Damien, he's bugging me. What am I going to do about him? And all that. And this was very interesting because we talk about all these current comic books and stuff. It's like, this could be a great story told like 6 or 7 years ago. I felt like this would have been great parallel for something for Al-Qaeda. This could have been sort of like in a post 9/11 world. I think this type of story could have been perfect. But this story, it works perfectly just like in the implications of it. And I love it. And it was something really unexpected from Garth Ennis, because it's like, he knows how to do that mix between the humor, black humor situations, but, like, really the moral implications of it. And I think it really is just something, like, it blows your mind. Because that's kind of what we do on Famous First. We kind of, you either see diamonds in the rough, or you see somebody who actually had it. You know, like, this guy has it.
Definitely. And it doesn't, the end of it definitely does not wrap up with a pretty bow at the end. I mean, there's a heavy-handed subject matter, and he doesn't try to put any type of nice, sweet ending at the end of it. I mean, the guys, he's killed 6 people, and he has to live with that. And, I mean, I don't want to ruin the entire book for people. You can find copies of it, eBay, Amazon.com, so... You know, if you get a chance, or if you just come by it, possibly at a comic book convention, I'd say definitely pick it up to see, you know, the, where this talent came from. There are many sequels to this book, actually, that have been put out through the years, but unfortunately, none of them actually follow the lead character of Tom Boyd from Troubled Souls. Art and I managed to track down one of them, which came out after this, called For a Few Troubles More. Mm-hmm. And instead, it follows Tom's two friends that are featured in in this first book, and their names are
Dougie and Ivor.
And so the main plot of the sequel is Dougie's getting married, and his that the Ivor is his best man, and it's the kind of craziness that goes on in, leading up to the wedding and in the aftermath of the wedding, I guess you should you could say, and the I don't know, the craziness that ensues. It's very slapsticky. For instance, there's a scene where they have birthday cake where they bring out for the guy, and he's supposed to blow out the candles, but instead his best friend vomits all over the cake and blows out the candles with vomit, and then quickly responds, "At least I got them all in one go," or something like that.
And more complications ensue from there.
Yeah, there's poop jokes, there's dick jokes. I mean, not to say it's, and I'm not trying to say it's like beneath me, like I it's fun reading it.
La-di-da.
But like, coming from this first book that we just talked about, you know, Troubled Souls, and going into something where there's it's like that, like it was very jarring because I had no idea. Like I didn't, like Art said, we didn't like look up the plots of these books prior to reading them. We just kind of picked them up, jumped right in, and the art style is similar. The same artist worked on both books. It's a little bit more cartoony, playing up the comedy aspect in the sequel. But I mean, really, there's also another sequel after that, and I think Avatar put out a book called Dicks.
Yeah.
That you could probably track down. We haven't picked that one up. If you have read if you've read it and you recommend it, send us an email and let us know. We'd like to know what people think of that one. If it's similar, just more of the same as far as For a Few Troubles More, or I mean, I'm assuming it is. I don't know.
Well, it's got spaceships and it goes more far off. And I think that's the problem. Like, I don't want to slam too much on A Few Troubles More, but it's like you watch Chasing Amy. And Chasing Amy is this great, lovely story. It's great drama. And then you watch Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. And same guy, same writer, same director, but two completely different stories.
Oh, we forgot to mention the snake that goes up a man's pants.
Yeah, I was gonna.
And he doesn't notice it.
No,
he doesn't notice it until the snake comes out of his zipper when he goes to take a leak.
And then he dies and becomes a ghost. So that's what you're paying for.
No, that's a different character. That
oh,
dies.
That's a different. Oh, wow.
It's the guy's uncle. But yes, there is a ghost in the sequel.
I was about to say, you're forgetting the more important part of ghosts.
But there are subtle references to Ghostbusters in both books. So if for no other reason, if pick it up for the Ghostbusters.
Well, I mean, like, if you're going to see Ghostbusters 3, you have to pick up for your few troubles more. That's how it works. Totally. But like I said, I didn't want to slam too much on it. It's just Troubled Souls, really kind of serious, poignant tale. For your true troubles more, and it's sequential sequels. Zaniness.
Exactly. So after all of these, you know, Troubled Souls and all its sequels, Garth Ennis has done many, many things, but the ones that most people know him the best from doing are Preacher and Punisher Max. He's also been doing a lot of war stories, most recently Battlefields, right?
Yep.
And, of course, here at the Fourth Wall, we all love Crossed. Can't get enough of that.
Can't.
So, yeah, that's pretty much what he's been up to.
Along with, like, 37 other things.
Yeah, tons of other things. And like we said earlier, the artist did the Herogasm and, you know, The Boys, of course. We forgot to mention that one.
Yes.
Is the series that the Herogasms spun off of. So that's, yeah, that's about it. I think that wraps it up. If you'd like to hear more of these famous firsts, our podcasts, sidecasts, interviews, and just geeky goodness, go to our main site at breakthefourthwall.com. We are now official members of the Podcasting Comics Network. We're excited about that, and you should be too. So that's all. Don't know what else to say about that.
And if you're interested in checking out the whole 30-year Catholics, Protestants war and more history on that, we got a couple of quick movie recommendations.
Yes.
I think the best one is The Wind That Shakes the Barley.
Yes, very good movie.
And there's a couple other ones, The Crying Game, and The Name of the Father, Blown Away.
Even Patriot Games.
Yes, Harrison Ford.
So if you, yeah, if you haven't got enough Irish with Troubled Souls, then delve into those movies, have yourself a Guinness, and have a happy St. Patrick's Day.
With your Irish car bomb.
There you go. So thanks for listening to this installment of Fourth Wall's Famous Verse. I'm Freddie.
And I'm Art.
Peace.
Out.
But you see, it's not me, it's not mine.